Continue in prayer with me, if you would, please. Thank you, our good and gracious Father. You are what we need. You are always there. You are so faithful, so merciful, compassionate, kind, and loving and gracious. Even in our sin, when we do stumble and fall, when we miss the mark, Lord, you pick us up and draw us back to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and that you meet every need, whether it's a physical need for healing, it's an emotional need, a relational need, a spiritual need, Lord. You care, you're concerned, and you have the power to heal and to help. Lord, there are many stressed people. There have been since this year started, it seems, but certainly during the coronavirus pandemic. Lord, you've seen the stress of people, maybe losing their jobs or getting their hours cut back, some having family members get sick, and others, family members die. School kids that are going back, teachers that are trying to teach and just to adjust to the new methods and practices, and that's hard. Lord, I pray that you would minister deeply to everyone who's discouraged and low and depressed. Lift them up, Lord. Be gracious to them and use your people as your hands and feet to minister to people in need. For medical workers and caregivers and those sheltering in place still, I pray, Lord, for them that they would feel your presence today and encourage us and help us not to live in fear. We pray for the states of Washington and Oregon and California and Idaho and other western states that are experiencing an outbreak of wildfires. Homes have been destroyed. People have lost their lives, many displaced. We pray, Lord, for these fires to be brought under control and end. Help the firefighters risking their lives to do this. And we just pray for, again, for your people to rise up in that hour of need to help their neighbors, help their communities. Lord, we pray for our country overall, how desperately we need you this hour. We need you to turn us back to you. We pray for a revival across our land. Hear the many prayers of your people that are crying out to you for peace and unity to come again, for love and patience to come, Lord. And I pray on a practical matter for our nominating committee that begins their work today, that you will lead and guide. Thank you, Father, for a chance to worship you. We love to do that, Lord. We love to pray. Thank you for agreement in prayer. And we know that when two or more agree as touching anything, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So thank you, Lord, for our agreement in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I should have asked you to be seated. You could be seated now for sure. Anyone want to share something before I share in the Word? Anyone have a word of testimony? Okay. All right. We're in the middle of the book of Revelation. And today, I think things take a little bit of a turn. The book of Revelation has a lot of visions of judgment. Chapters 6, 8, 9, 14, 16, 19, 20. And I'm not going to cover verse by verse every one of those chapters. You can read those on your own. Again, my goal here is to touch on some major themes. So it brings up the question, why judgment at all? Isn't God nice? Isn't he loving? Yes. And he's also holy and just and pure. Justice and fairness are every bit as part of God's nature and character as his long-suffering and his love. Jesus said that there would be judgment at the end of the age. Matthew 24. For then will be great distress equaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. The Bible says that Jesus himself will be the agent of judgment. John 5:22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Acts 17:1. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. And for some, that may be a new concept, to think of Jesus as God's agent of judgment, but it's true. From the passage I read to you from Matthew 24, it will be a very harsh time at the end of the age. Very severe judgments will fall. And what Jesus describes here hasn't happened yet. That's why I'm a futurist. Remember, I gave you several ways of understanding and interpreting the book of Revelation, and I said I was a futurist. This is one of those reasons. The last 7 years of human history, the last 3.5 for sure, the book of Revelation mentions 42 months, 1260 days, 3.5 years, several times. So for sure, the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. It will affect the entire world. Some of the examples I will give this morning to talk about it will mostly center on America because that's where we live and that's what impacts us. But know this, it will impact. The word judgment, the Greek word literally means crisis, crisis time. It will be a crisis time of punishment and justice and hell, but also a time of rewards in heaven. God brings judgment so people will repent. That's the purpose. There's really mercy in it. Jeremiah 18 says, if at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time announced that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it. Hello, America. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his own heart. Boy, a classic example of this is Nineveh, the capital city of the ancient Assyrian kingdom. Jonah, the reluctant prophet, was given a word to go and preach to Nineveh, and 40 days you will be destroyed. We know the bypass and the detour that Jonah took in the belly of the great fish, but he finally made his way to Nineveh, and he proclaimed this message, and you know the story of Jonah and what happened. They all repented, and God did not bring on them the judgment that he had prescribed. Because he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to salvation. But we have a free will. God gives us free will. And so we'll see in the book of Revelation that many don't repent after experiencing judgment after judgment. We also see in the book of Revelation that Christians are impacted too, particularly from man's wrath. We're not exempt. There will be many martyrs during those last years. Christians are obviously impacted by natural disasters along with the world. Christians are impacted by wars and die in wars just like believers. And so some of the judgments we will see in the book of Revelation are because of man's wrath against man. God's wrath, I believe that Christians are protected from and we are exempt from. But I'm torn to talk about America and judgment coming on our land, which I believe it will someday. Why? Because we turn from God. We've turned from one nation under God. We've turned from the foundations of those who came first to this nation. And this was to be a nation that glorified God. We've become idolatrous. Another sin that I believe God cannot overlook is abortion. 3 million murdered babies. Some sins God can't overlook. God judged Israel. God judged Judah because of idolatry and child sacrifice. 2 Kings 24. What happened to Judah according to the Lord's command in order to remove them from his presence because of the sins of Manasseh and all he had done, including the shedding of innocent blood, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord was not willing to forgive. Manasseh killed his own children in sacrificing to Moloch, but we've killed 60 million babies. In the last 5 years that I've really been researching these kind of things, I've come across lots of scary prophecies and people that have visions and dreams that talk about judgment on America. But perhaps to me, the scariest is not even a conspiracy theory website. It's Deagle.com. This company publishes news articles about different systems and military equipment, military purchases around the world. They also forecast population and gross national product for the world's nations. In other words, they have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in nations, and they watch whether there will be shifts in population and also nations' economies going up or down. Who hires, who contracts Deagle? Well, the Department of Defense, the State Department, the CIA, the NSA, the UN, the Vatican, and the European Union all use Deagle. So what do they have to say in projecting America? In the year 2020, this year, there's approximately 330 million people in America, give or take a million or two. They're projecting by the year 2025, there'll be 99 million people. 99 million people in America. That's a tremendous change. By far, the most reduction of any other nation that they project. Why? You probably are thinking, what do they say? Why that? They're supposed to say migration. Do they know something we don't know? Probably nothing like that will happen. But it is a website that has kind of shaken me a little bit. And I hope they're wrong. They probably will be wrong. But I just want to bring it to your attention. John has three judgment visions in the book of Revelation of seven judgments each. He arranges it in a very orderly fashion. And people usually understand it chronologically or linearly. I don't take it like that. And in the chart on the back of your sermon notes, I hold the view three, which shows more of an overlap, that the sixth and seventh seal, trumpets, and bowl judgments will be at the end of the age. That's how I see it, in my opinion. But in all this, there's still time to repent. It shows God's mercy is still available, even in judgment. So I'm going to focus this morning mostly on chapter 6. And the sealed judgments, and tie those in with what Jesus says in Matthew 24. To me, it's an amazing parallel. It's like they're reading each other's minds, Jesus and John. And then I'll just make brief comments on the other chapters. Revelation 6:1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." In chapter 5, we saw Jesus took the scroll from the hand of God, and then he began to open the seals, and as he opens them, a judgment befalls. Let's read those judgments. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power forth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They cried out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky received a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid. And among the rocks of the mountains, they called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" The four horsemen of the apocalypse ride. The first seal is the Antichrist, the rider of the white horse. I don't believe that this rider is Jesus Christ, because he's in heaven opening the seals. And all of the seals are bad, so for continuity's sake, I don't think that the first seal would be good and all the others bad. The Antichrist is an instead of Christ, the false Christ. The real Christ rides on the white horse in Revelation 19. He comes and conquers by deception. Jesus said in Matthew 24:5, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." At the end, there will be many false Christs and false prophets, but there will be one chief false Christ and false prophet. Just like there are false teachers and false pastors today, of liberal churches that don't teach people to believe in the Word of God and be born again. The health and wealth gospel and the extreme grace message, which overlooks sin and holiness, easy divorce and remarriage in the church, and the culture that's more and more satanic and deceiving, a media that lies to us, colleges where students pay good money to be brainwashed into socialism and Marxism, a government that's becoming more and more powerful and controlling, taking away our freedoms. The second seal is war. The red horse. Of course, there have been lots of wars in history. 360 the last 50 years. There's been no day since 1945 where there's been complete peace on the earth. 150 million have died the last 100 years in war. You know the old adage, war is hell. That is so true, because war does send young men, women into eternity, and some into hell. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 6-7a, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed, Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's happening today. We see in the world. There's a lot of tension right now in the world with China, India and Pakistan. We see Turkey and Greece. Especially in the Middle East, there's always friction. Keep your eye on Israel. Much Bible prophecy is focused on Israel and what they're doing. Read Psalm 83 sometime and Ezekiel chapter 38. It mentions at the end that there will be armies that will come against Israel. And those nations are listed in those two chapters. They are Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Russia, Muslim satellite nations, Sudan, Ethiopia, Libya, Yemen, Turkey. All the nations that surround Israel, north, east, south, and west. Keep your eye on Arab nations signing peace treaties with Israel. Just recently, UAE signed a peace treaty with Israel. Bahrain is opening up diplomatic channels. And watch for Saudi Arabia to come. Keep your eye on Turkey's leader, Erdogan. He has a vision to reestablish a Muslim caliphate around the world. I would not be shocked if someday America is at war with perhaps China or Russia, North Korea, and more likely Iran. The third seal is famine, the black horse rider. Matthew 24:7 parallels that there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, probably because of war. 5 million starve to death each year. 1 every 6 seconds die of hunger. 66% of the world's population has experienced hunger in their life. 15 million acres around the world are losing topsoil every year. A slight decrease in the earth and the sun's light would prompt famine. That could easily be accomplished by major volcanic eruptions and certainly by a nuclear winter. The text lends itself to hyperinflation and economies crashing. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the American economy crash someday. Add in chemtrails, geoengineering. A future dictator could use food as a weapon. The UN recently said that a famine of biblical proportions, their words, is coming. The fourth seal, plagues and death. The pale horse, where nearly 2 billion die. It sounds incomprehensible, yet there's still room for mercy because not everyone dies. Plagues recently, like AIDS and Ebola and COVID-19, was that manufactured in a lab? Many think so. Including maybe you've seen a Chinese woman who has said that she knows that it was made in a lab. Biological warfare. I want to talk about the vaccine for a moment. Maybe you have seen the COVID-19 vaccine that the head of the health department of the state of Virginia, I think it's Oliver, and our legislators have said that the COVID-19 vaccine will be mandatory in the state of Virginia. Only Massachusetts has said that so far. Well, I can tell you this, I'm not taking it. If I know that it's not 100% safe, that means it's gone through years of trials and tests. If it contains the cells of aborted babies, I won't take any vaccine that contains that. Nor if it's mRNA-based that changes or affects your DNA in some way, not going to take it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've taken flu shots. Our kids were vaccinated. But this thing is being rushed. I don't believe it's safe. And I'm very suspicious about what's going on. Big Pharma will not be held liable. Criminally liable. There's already laws that are going to protect them for people getting sick and dying from the vaccine. Watch for something. You can do this research on your own. ID 2020, the quantum tattoo by Microsoft and Bill Gates working with MIT as a delivery system of vaccines that will also be able to identify. I think it'll be people mostly in the poor nations like Africa that will probably be subject to that first. The patent number on ID 2020 is interesting. It's 060606. Interesting patent number. Also, the House of Representatives has passed H.R. 6666, which is a COVID tracing bill. So, you say, Pastor, you sound like a conspiracy theory guy. Well, I am. You know why? Because there's a real devil that is alive in the world and works behind the scenes. So I have no problem at all being suspicious of things. The fifth seal, persecution. Many Christian martyrs. Revelation chapter 7 really shows us that. Jesus said in Matthew 24:9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. The church fathers from the first century up until the church fathers were in the first few centuries of the church. Those that spoke on the topic of eschatology said that the church will face the Antichrist. So I say to you, if you are alive and the mark of the beast is offered, don't take it. Refuse it at all costs. Here's what it says in Revelation. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Persecution in America, it's coming more and more, little by little. Maybe you saw recently that John MacArthur, a pastor of a large church in California, just lost a case in court that his church and others are not allowed to meet. Seattle recently refused allowing a Christian group to worship together in a park, a Seattle park, but they had allowed the BLM and Antifa protesters to use that same park. So the Christian worshipers just took it to the street and had a worship protest. Good idea. We've seen Christian bakers and florists ruined. I think Christians will be blamed for future problems. Blame the Christians and executed them. Revelation 20 verse 4 says that they will be beheaded for their faith in Christ. We've seen ISIS do that to Christians in the Middle East. That's no surprise. Perhaps you saw this news item recently of some diners eating outside at a Washington, D.C. restaurant, and the BLM and Antifa protesters came up and disrupted their meal and turned over tables and forced everyone to raise their fist and say that they support these movements. One couple refused to, and the protester looked at them and said, are you Christians? The social justice warriors like Antifa and Black Lives Matter hate Christians. Why? Because they perceive Christianity as part of the oppressive past. They're opposed to Christianity for family and traditional marriage. They're opposed to absolute truth, right and wrong. They go by lived experience instead. Truth is relative for them. But we believe the Bible is the Word of God and Jesus the only way to God. They hate that narrowness and see it as evil. The sixth seal is earthquake and related cosmic events. An earthquake. Jesus says that there will be earthquakes in various places. Four are mentioned in the book of Revelation. Let's talk about a few earthquake zones in America. Cascadia, subduction zone on the Washington-Oregon coast, when that goes off, and someday it will, a 9.0, 9.2, something like that, it will be the greatest natural disaster in American history. It went off last time in the year 1700. There weren't too many people living there then. It's 70 years overdue. The San Andreas Fault in Southern California up to San Francisco, everybody knows that one. But there's the New Madrid Fault, which isn't as known, along the Mississippi River. That last erupted in 1811, and it was felt as far away as Ohio and rang church bells in Charleston, South Carolina. Earthquakes around the world, especially in the Ring of Fire zone, are increasing in frequency and size. From 1700 to 1960, so a 260-year period, there were five major earthquakes, a major earthquake being 8.8 to 9.6 on the Richter scale. But from 1960 to 2010, there were five that size, 50 years. They're increasing in frequency and size. Revelation 6 ends with the rich hiding in their bunkers, in the underground cities that are built under America, the military bases, the dumps under America. Who can stand the wrath of the Lamb is asked. Well, certainly the end has come, and only the Christian who is loved and protected by God and hasn't denied their faith, only they stand. I'm going to continue on in Matthew 24. What else do we see at the end of the age? Apostasy. Very sad to say that there will be Christians apostatizing from the faith, turning from the faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24:10, at that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Well, in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs, the apostasy occurs, the falling away occurs. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction, the Antichrist. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when men will not put up a sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Never deny Jesus. Don't take the mark if you are alive and it is offered in your day. Increase of wickedness. I already talked about abortion and 60 million dead bodies. The leaders of Planned Parenthood are on tape selling baby parts to the highest bidders for making vaccines, makeup, and food additives. Think about child trafficking in our country and around the world, the horrors of that, and a culture of movies and music that are more and more demonic. Netflix has recently put out a movie, really a pedo movie, really is basically what it was. Leviticus 18:25. Even the land was defiled, so I punished it for its sin, and the land vomited out its inhabitants. And Jesus also says at the end, the gospel will be preached. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In all this bad news, there's still mercy. The greatest revival in the history of mankind, I think, will occur at the end of the age. A great harvest will be brought to Jesus. In Revelation 7, there's 144,000 preachers. Could be literal. It is a symbolic number of a lot of preachers preaching the word of God. Even angels preach in Revelation 14. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." So even in the midst of all this judgment is still mercy, the gospel still being proclaimed. People can still turn to God if they will. Now, I want to quickly highlight some other judgment passages. Chapters 8 and 9 are the trumpet judgments. They are similar to the judgments that fell, the plagues that fell on Egypt. Those judgments will affect human beings, animals, and the earth. Also, there will be demonic attacks. It's one of those trumpet judgments I want to mention. Revelation 8:8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. To me, this sounds like an asteroid is going to plunge into the ocean someday. It's going to happen in the book of Revelation. It says it will. I have read over the last 5 years many, many people with dreams and visions of seeing that event happening. And they talk about it hitting the Atlantic Ocean, the Western Atlantic, which would flood the Caribbean and the east coast of the United States. In the year 2029, a large asteroid is set to pass close by the Earth. NASA's tracking it now, and they said it'll be a near miss. But they don't always know when they're coming until they pass. On August the 15th, an asteroid that was the size of a car, so very small, whizzed by Earth, going 27,600 miles per hour. That's 8 miles per second, and missed Earth by only 1,830 miles. And NASA never saw it until it was 6 hours past us. What else don't they see? There's another small one coming November 2nd, the day before the election. The Earth. Revelation 9:20-20. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Amazing, after all these judgments are falling, they still won't repent. That's the reason for these, to cause them to come to the end of themselves and repent, because God still wants to save. Revelation 15 and 16 are the bowl judgments, also similar to the plagues that fell on Egypt, affecting earth and humans along with demonic attacks. I'm going to focus on one of the bowl judgments, Revelation 16, 16. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in the Hebrew is called Armageddon, the final battle. Returns. It's a literal battlefield in northern Israel, the site of military campaigns over the years. At that time, I think the Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 nations, mostly Muslim nations, perhaps Russia, China, and certainly the Antichrist armies will be gathered and surround Jerusalem, but they will be defeated at Christ's second coming, Revelation 19. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. But judgment isn't just about war, famine, and plagues. It's all about standing before God. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, just as is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to face judgment. It is standing before God. Every Christian will someday have to do to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We will give an account to God someday. I'm going to say more about that in a future message in Revelation. The unbeliever will stand before God at the great judgment, Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the great and small standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Why? Because they violated their own conscience and rejected Christ. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Sinning does not send one to hell alone. Rejecting Jesus does. The unbeliever will receive strict justice. There will be no injustice at that day. It will be fair. The book of life will be opened, and if his or her name is not written there, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. It's very clear. Scripture couldn't be clearer. No ambiguity. They wanted nothing to do with God in this life. God will oblige them. So where are we in time? Is judgment close? I have to tell you honestly, I don't know. I'm not a seer. I'm not a prophet. I don't know. Maybe. It could be. What we can do, though, is pray. And pray for our country. Pray for Christians to not turn from Jesus and not deny Jesus, and that our country would turn back to God. On September 26th, there are a couple events in Washington, D.C., if you're interested in going to them. Franklin Graham is having a prayer gathering, and Jonathan Kahn is offering prayer, a prayer event up there, too. And we're going to send out a link to the Jonathan Kahn event, which you can watch at home. We're going to be gathering to pray three Sunday evenings in October, so there will be opportunities for you to pray, as we should. Let's do that right now. Lord, there are places in your word that are hard to listen to, but it's important that we do. It's important that we are watching and alert. Jesus said to pray and watch. Don't fall asleep. This is certainly not the day to be asleep spiritually. If we are, wake us up, Lord. Help us to be on our wall watching and praying hard. Lord, if someone isn't in right relationship with you today, today is the day of salvation. I pray that they would turn to you and know you as Savior and Lord, or turn back to you if they've drifted. Oh, Lord, in these days, may we walk closely with you. In Jesus' name, amen.